So, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Chaos out there, chaos in here, and now thirdly, what about sin? Now we're right into the most evil. We're now into what we do, not just what's happening to us. And we might say, all right, I can understand that a chaotic world or a chaotic psyche, might God can still love me, but not when I sin. Surely that separates me from God's love. Surely sin is the rejection of God. Surely God will change and stop loving me when I sin. That might be the way we think. Surely sin separates us from God's love. Well, let's have a look. So now we're at the heart of evil, at its most mysterious centre. When we take it on board and accept it and act out of it. So this is evil where we're proactive, not just the victim of it, but the perpetrator of it. That's sin. Let's have a look. After getting into a boat, he crossed the sea and came to what we find Matthew keeps on calling his own town, the town that he loved and made his own, Capernaum, or Kfar Nahum. Kfar means village. Nahum is one of the prophets. It's a common enough name. The village of Nahum, Nahum's village, Kfar Nahum. And just then, some people were carrying a paralyzed man, symbol of sin that paralyzes us. Can't move. It's a good image for sin. Can't take steps of love. Can't forgive. Can't reconcile. Can't celebrate. Can't pray. Can't anything. Because we've got caught up into something that's disturbing our whole being and its relationship with God. And so we need to be carried. Thank God there's someone around to carry this man. But he's paralyzed. He's lying on a bed and he's being carried. When Jesus saw their faith, we did that last week. When he saw that they were listening, observing, heeding, taking seriously and trusting Jesus, when they were no longer looking just in here but looking out there and trusting that there was hope, he said to the paralyzed man, courage, or which is take heart, same thing, core is the heart. Courage, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. We're going to look in a moment at what forgiven means, and I've actually got some notes to offer you on the little bit I'm now about to share with you, some texts from the scriptures on forgiveness. That's our key word. Your sins are forgiven. Then some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. But Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say stand up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Son of Man, we did last week, keep it in mind, the one who identifies with the poor and the broken and the needy and the paralyzed and who knows that God vindicates us in our poverty and weakness. He knows we are dust. He loves us. And he will not let us go. And nothing can separate us from God's love. Sin certainly can't. Sin can block us from receiving it. But it can't separate us from it. God doesn't stop loving me when I sin. But sin stops me receiving that love. That's the problem with sin. It blocks, like some kind of chemical that doesn't allow the entry. It's like pulling down the blind. It doesn't stop the sun shining, but it does stop light coming into the room. So we can affect our life by sinning, of course. But our problem is when we sin, we think it stopped the sun shining. So we're not going to lift the blind because we're dreadful thought might be that we might lift it and there's darkness out there because we feel darkness in here. And our faith is there's never darkness out there. There is only love out there. And that's the prodigal son story, and that's the thief on the cross story, and that's the Mary Magdalene story, and do you need any more? That's the gospel story. And when you're in sin, it's hard to believe that, but it's true. That's our faith. Not even sin can separate us from God's love. So we have to just open our arms to be receiving of the forgiveness and then get on with loving. So the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. We'll have to see that, what that means in a moment a bit stronger. He said to the paralytic, "Stand up, take your bed and go to your home." And he stood up and went to his home. So not even sin can separate us from God's love. When the crowd saw it, they were filled with awe, and they glorified God who had given such authority to human beings. You can forgive sin. I can forgive sin. We can all forgive sin. In fact, we say in the Our Father, don't we? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So we're all capable of forgiving sin. It's one of the key elements of Catholic Christianity. And I mean that Catholic dimension of Christianity which our church holds to, others do too, in a piecemeal kind of a way, I think. But Catholic Christianity insists that you do not separate God from creation. God is not an outsider to the world. Not somebody up there, out there. We take the incarnation absolutely seriously, that God is incarnate in the community, in you, in me, in the sacraments, in a bell, in a candle, in light, in a child's smile, in a party hat, whatever. God is actually incarnate in all this. And God is incarnate in a community and in a word of forgiveness and a smile and a love and a sacrament of marriage and on it goes. God is at the heart of the world, and the world is to be inspirited by love. We don't have to leave anything to find God. We have to not leave it, but we have to get to the heart of it to find God. We have to get below the masks to the reality, and we'll always find God at the heart of ourself and of everyone else. And here's God at the heart of Jesus, forgiving, and at the heart of anyone who wants to be with him, forgiving. And we can all forgive sin. So I'd like to look with you now, having looked at the word Son of Man last week, I'd like to look at what it means to forgive. In fact, the English word is really beautiful, but I'll look at the Greek with you for a while because that's what we're commenting on the original text. It's in some notes I'll offer you in a moment. The Greek word is a composite word made up of a verb, hiemi, which means, it's an unusual Greek word, it means to throw. It's the word meaning to cast a spear, a javelin. So it's simply to throw. Af is apo. Apo means away or from. So etymologically, the word afiemi means to cast off, to throw away. Now, leaving etymology, which we'll come back to, the word is a very common word in the New Testament. And it basically means to leave alone. It's used often, and I'll give you one example, but there are many. It means to leave something alone by not interfering with it. Leave it be. Leave it there. For example, Jesus says in chapter 19, 14, using a simple word, he says, "Let the children come to me." Like, leave them alone. Don't interfere with them. Keep out of the road. Let them come to me. That's afiemi. Simple word. It also means to leave something alone by actually going away from it, by departing. So it means to go away. In chapter 4, verse 22, we've already met this verb, when they left their nets. This is the verb used. So something's there, and you either don't interfere with it, or you leave it alone and walk away. However, sometimes it actually picks up the etymology a bit more strongly. For example, when in chapter 5, verse 40, which we've done already, when he says, if someone comes and takes your coat, give them your cloak as well. Or they rip your cloak off, or give them your coat. Take it off and give it to them. So something of that lifting off or chucking away or casting off is in the essence of this verb, to sin. Sin is perhaps almost like a weight or something that clings so closely. But when you forgive sin, you actually undo the buttons and take it off, or you lift the weight off a person who's in sin and just hurl it into the sea or chuck it away. And sometimes forgiveness can feel like that, can't it? Like a big weight, an emotional weight, and then someone says, it's okay, you know, I forgive you, and then you... It's a wonderful gift to be forgiven, isn't it? Because it just lifts all that off you. And you can't do it for yourself. You need someone who you hurt to do it for you. So we'll read, where we've met the word already in this sense of forgive. And I've just got a couple of them there for you. In the Our Father, we read, forgive us our debts. Take our, this weight of responsibility, guilt, and lift it off us and kind of like chuck it away so we're free to stand up and get on with life. Just as we do that to people who owe us things and have this weight upon them and they don't know whether they're ever going to be able to pay. And we say, oh, so I'd scrap it, get on with it. The lovely way in which the so-called first world is doing this to the third world. Like heck. You know, all the generous things we've done to the third world, and we've got them in so much debt they cannot get off the ground. And the debt goes on and on and on. And we're ripping around in limousines and whatever else, ripping off all the energy of the world, while people in these poorer countries cannot get out of their debt because they owe it to our big banks and so on. I mean, it's sin of the highest form, committed by us as communities, and probably by the people you're banking with and I'm banking with. And the Vatican had a lot of money in banks that they had to look at very closely, what they were doing. Well, that's the worst form of sin, the ugliest form of sin. And our world is rampant with it, and it's hard for us not to be all caught up in it a bit. Well, here we're saying, look, we lift the weight off other people. We don't burden them forever with debt. So, Father, would you do that for us too and just lift it off, because we can never pay our debt to you. And Jesus, at the end of the Our Father, picks this up again. If you forgive others their trespasses, their failings, their tripping up, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you don't forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Not meaning God is playing a little game with us, but if I don't forgive you, then forgiveness is like opening the heart. And if the heart is locked, closed, it can't receive forgiveness either. It's just locked into an unforgiving, hard place. And it's only if I allow the log jam or what's blocking the spring to free by loving you, that I'm then free for the spring to flow through and gush forth. Otherwise, as you know, a well can dry up, can't it? The spring dries up because it's blocked and the water has to find another outlet. So we'll only receive forgiveness if we've opened our hearts to give it, says God, says Jesus. Then there's the text we're looking at. And then there's this other one in chapter 12, verse 31. We come in again. People will be forgiven for every sin and every blasphemy. So there's no sin that can't be forgiven. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever says a word against the Son of Man, Jesus, they'll be forgiven. Jesus can cope with that. But if you speak against the Holy Spirit, you won't be forgiven, says Jesus. We'll do that later, but that's not a special sin. There are books written, what is the sin against the Holy Spirit? Because that's one we should avoid. Because that one isn't, as though God's got a whole list of sins he'll forgive, but he won't forgive that one. He's already said, all people will be forgiven for every sin and every blasphemy. There's no sin that can't be forgiven. But the sin against the Holy Spirit can't be forgiven, because that's like, if you were in a single propeller aeroplane with a mate and you crashed in a desert out in the middle of the Simpson Desert somewhere, and there's only one water well within 20 miles, and an Aboriginal person comes up to you and says, "Come with me and I'll take you to the water." And you say to yourself, "What the bloody hell would an Aboriginal know? You know, I'm an educated white. Know what you can do, mate?" And I don't listen to him, and I go off and do my own thing. Do you know what's going to happen? I'm going to die first, because I haven't followed the only inspiration that can take me to the water. If I reject the Holy Spirit, it means I'm rejecting forgiveness. Of course it can't be forgiven, because I've taken away, I've blocked myself off from the only source of light and forgiveness and love. I've said it's evil, I don't want it, I'm not going to take it. Well, then I'll die in my sin, because there's nowhere else to go. I've called the only good water poison, and I won't drink it. So I'll die. So we have to be open to God's Spirit to be able to receive forgiveness. Surely that's what's being said. A little later, chapter 18, Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Seven sounds a lot. And you know Jesus' answer? 70 times seven. You can't limit your forgiveness. The parable of Jesus later on this same point of forgiveness. Matthew 18, 27 and then 32 and the following. The Lord really, it's a parable about a master who released the slave and forgave his debt. I think you know the story. Person who owed a fair amount of money, couldn't pay, and begged the master, and the master said, "Okay, look, forget about it, you can't pay it, I'll let you off." But then the slave goes out and finds another slave who owes him money. Quite a lot, actually, but nothing like what this bloke owed, and he gets this bloke by the scruff of the neck and says, "Pay," and the bloke says, "Look, I can't." He says, I demand that you do it. And then it says, the Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured till he paid the entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from the heart. Not because God is revenging, but because God can't forgive us while we're blocked from forgiving our brothers and sisters. So if you're really hard on other people and very judgmental of them, please take stock immediately of yourself, because you're in a very bad place, very dangerous place. And our willingness to forgive others is a very beautiful sign of our openness to receive forgiveness from God. The last text I want is where the noun is used. It's the only time in Matthew. The noun from the verb aphesis, which means forgiveness, and it's in a most beautiful scene, and it's only in this in Matthew. It's the Last Supper. Jesus took a cup, and after giving thanks, gave the cup to them and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, my commitment of love to you forever. It's poured out for the multitude." In fact, for anyone who wants it, it's poured out not for a little select leftover, remnant, but it's poured out for the multitude, for the forgiveness of sins. Forgiving sin is very hard. Being forgiven is very hard. Jesus died to... convincing that he loved us, that we would allow him to love us even when we sin, and accept forgiveness humbly and joyfully from God. Galatians for a moment on this. Might help your prayer, Galatians 2:19-20. Because you see, sin is the worst evil, and we're watching Jesus heal it. And if sin can be healed, anything can be healed. It's no longer I who live, says Paul, who saw himself as a great sinner, persecutor of the church. It's no longer I who live, Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If you just look at the word for the moment, let's go to English. We've been playing with the Greek, but English picks it up rather nicely. To forgive, if you can spell it, F-O-R-G-I-V-E, means to give for, doesn't it? So it means to, if you forgive me, it doesn't mean you say, oh, it doesn't matter, because it does matter. It doesn't mean you say, oh, I'll forgive but I can't forget or something. It's not a legal thing. You only forgive me when you give yourself for me in spite of my sin. It's a giving. Jesus gave himself for them. He forgave them. He kept loving us when we'd sinned. And it's only love that forgives. It's only love that convinces that it's possible to keep going. It's only a continued love that enables me or you to have the courage to renew a relationship or something. Romans 7:4, you belong to him to bear fruit for God in the new life of the Spirit. That's forgiveness. Something, a weight is gone, a burden is gone, an inner corruption has been washed away, and we're able to be renewed by the Spirit to live again. Romans 8:1-11, parts of it. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Flesh meaning weakness, distraction, things that don't actually matter, things that aren't inspirited by grace. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. You are in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And anyone who doesn't have the Spirit of Christ doesn't belong to him. But if Christ is in you, your spirits are alive. So that completes our first session. And what we've just looked at three scenes, magnificent scenes that I hope bring us faith and consolation in whatever situation you might find yourself. Chaos around you or within, or the sin that clings to us and causes us such pain. Well, all of it is healable, all of it's forgivable, and Christ comes and releases us from all of that, if we wish, by his giving himself for us.